Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to our study of Colossians 3:16, which tells a great deal about the Christian's music. When it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And we have learned that singing among Christians is a primary means of Christians exhorting one another. Teaching and admonishing is the exact language in this text. But the idea is that Christians communicate with one another by spiritual songs, by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in this way, they communicate truth and they advise and counsel one another, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, of course, teaching is helping someone else to understand a subject, understand information. In this context, of course, we're talking about helping others to understand the meaning of God's Word. It's God's Word dwelling in you richly that enables you, a Christian, to teach other Christians, teaching and admonishing one another. Another one of these one another texts in the Bible that's so very, very important. So we are, as individual believers, to teach other believers the Word of God. We are to admonish other believers in relationship to the Word of God. And admonish carries the idea of negative warnings about the dangers of ignoring truth and the consequences of bad behavior. So this all falls into the area of biblical counsel. We might call it advice. We are to help other Christians understand what the Word of God says and how it applies to their particular situation. Many times the very one that they are talking about, that they are asking about, what should I do about this situation? What would you advise? And we are to help them through teaching and admonishing. But as this text says, this is not only done in personal and private conversation, but it's also done through singing. That's the way we do it here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, that raises some questions about how exactly does this work, and that's what we want to get into in the Beacon Broadcast today, which is Thursday, January 12th. And we can do this because radio listeners like you help us financially with the cost of this ministry. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That in itself has created quite a bit of discussion, as you may know. And it's interesting what some people come up with when they take a look at this list. Three different items, but they all have to do with singing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. A psalm, as you know, is a portion of Scripture. So we sing Scripture. At least we should. We ought to. You do, don't you? Your church does, doesn't it? Our church has a hymn book in which there is a section of psalms in the back, sometimes called a psalter. We don't have all of the psalms in our hymn book, but we have a good many of them. I've been to a number of churches that actually have a whole hymn book that is nothing but psalms. Some churches sing psalms exclusively, That's all they will sing. That's all they think they should sing. And when in other churches, we'll use the Psalter along with the hymn book. And when you have a Psalter, that what you normally have is a variety of settings for each psalm. Since there are 150 psalms, if you only had one song per psalm, you'd only have 150 songs in that songbook, that psalm book. But many psalms have more than one setting, more than one psalm to be sung, more than one, I don't even know the words I want to use here at this point. So when you start multiplying the number of psalms, sometimes they are different wordings of the same psalm. Sometimes they are different sections of a longer psalm. It would take quite a few hymns to be able to sing through Psalm 119, for example. If you only took one eight stanza psalm per singing, you'd have, goodness knows, how many, 170, how many verses are there? 176 verses, I think, in that psalm. Divide that by 8, and you've got over 20 psalms. But anyway, if you have a Psalter, you have a number of psalms. It'll have several settings. You probably have three or four settings for Psalm 1, and several settings for Psalm 23, and so forth. Now, I hope you are singing psalms. You may not have a Psalter. It would be helpful if you had a hymn book like ours that had a Psalter section that at least gave you some of the psalms set to music so that the congregation could sing them. But there are other portions of God's Word that also can be sung, set to music, and they can be included as well. And very clearly, if you'll examine it closely enough, you'll realize that some of the hymns that we sing are basically paraphrases of Scripture. Not very many, but if you go to a traditional hymn book, you will find some of the hymns are paraphrases of Psalms. One of my favorites is based upon Psalm 103, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransom healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing, Alleluia, Alleluia, praise the everlasting King." And so it goes. And though that's not found in a Psalter section, it really is a paraphrase of Psalm 103. Think about it if you know the words of that psalm and check it out. So there are a variety of different categories of singing that are suggested here. Psalms, which is Scripture. Hymns, which are songs of praise to God and about God, but are of human composition as opposed to Scripture, and spiritual songs, which are other categories of singing, testimony, doctrine, exhortation, and so forth. Now, just as an aside, for those churches that believe in exclusive psalmody, which is the way we usually describe those who sing only psalms, usually the rationale is, there's a couple of things, but usually the rationale is that we should only sing Scripture. And I can't fault the exalted ideal that's involved here. But I don't believe that that's what the Bible is requiring of us. It's not telling us to sing Scripture exclusively. As a matter of fact, it seems clear to me from this text and the parallel one in Ephesians 5:18 that we are told to sing Scripture and other hymns and songs of human composition. Scripture, of course, of divine composition, but other hymns and psalms of human composition. Now, those who do not agree with me on that generally will tell you that psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms are not songs are not actually three categories of songs that are not psalms, but are actually three different categories of psalms. That in the book of Psalms, you'll find these three types of psalms. Some that we call psalms, some that we could call hymns, and some that we would call spiritual songs. I don't know if you've ever heard that argument before, but it is around. I have looked at that. I've read articles supporting that, and I am not convinced that that is, in fact, the case. But here is one thing to say to that very, very, very small percentage of my listeners for whom this is a pertinent topic. If you are insisting that we should only sing psalms because they are of divine composition, the scripture that God wrote, not hymns and spiritual songs that are composed by men, if in fact that is your position, then you really ought to be singing the psalms straight out of the Bible rather than the paraphrase that we almost always sing. I really don't know anybody who actually sings the psalms as they are written, but all of the psalters I have seen are all paraphrases. In other words, they, frankly, are of human composition. They're using the psalms as the material for that composition, but there are some words that are of divine origin and other words that are of human origin mixed together in order to make it work for singing, so particularly in Western-style singing. So you can have rhythm and rhyme and meter and lines that flow together in a way that works with Western-style poetry. So you're not really singing only scripture, even if you are singing only psalms. I'm often amused, and I'm just throwing this out as an aside, and I'm not trying to insult anybody here, but sometimes the same people who insist upon exclusive psalmody often also insist upon using only one traditional translation of scripture and wouldn't allow a more modern translation because it changes the words. And of course, all it is a modern language translation. The words are truly the word of God, but it's a more modern translation. And here's my point, that the psalms that you sing are far less literal. If you're complaining about modern translations not being literal enough, they generally are. I mean, there's a variety. Some of them are really poor, no question about it, if you're talking about trying to have a very careful translation that truly transmits God's word as it is given and does not take liberties with the text. But you will sing psalms that wouldn't pass for the worst Bible translation. It really is way too far off the mark on that, and yet you will insist upon a Bible translation for Bible reading and for preaching and teaching that is very, very literal. So all I'm saying is that there's some inconsistencies here, and I think the whole problem is that you're not looking at this text in Colossians 3:16 and the parallel one in Ephesians 5:18 properly to realize that God is not requiring us to sing Scripture exclusively. And if he is, then that's what you ought to be doing, and not taking such great liberties with your text of Scripture that you are singing. But God is telling us to sing both psalms of divine composition and hymns and spiritual songs of human composition, but whose theme, whose subject that we're singing about is about God and about Bible truth. Well, we'll come back to this, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.